Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the home of free speech and hopefully, a sensible speech. Not just free speech, but sensible speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, keep free and sensible speech alive, and go to nationalbugle.com, peruse the articles, download the Kosher-certified app. It's very sensible to lead a non-Kosher-certified lifestyle. Today's Monday, we have with us Mark Collett of Great Britain. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. I hope you are well. I am feeling a little bit better than I was last week, so it is good to be back and to be in full fighting, full fighting capacity. I'm back up to my almost 100% capacity, so hopefully I'll be a bit more lively than I was last week.
Okay, so you were under the weather last week. It wasn't the deadly coronavirus, was it?
Well, that's interesting because I did a COVID test and I tested negative for it. But Mrs. Mark did 3 COVID tests and she tested positive for all 3. And
when
to be fair...
When was that?
That was last week. And to be fair, she has been hit by this a lot worse than I have. I pretty much sailed through it. I had 2 days where I was in bed. And she's been in bed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and she's in bed this morning as well.
Okay, so you're both sick at the same time. She tested positive 3 times.
She tested positive 3 times. I tested negative, and then she did a proper sample test, which she sent off. But there was no need for me doing that because I didn't test positive for it.
Huh. Okay. And, you know, it just so happens that a week or so ago, a little more than a week ago, the Philbert Applebag, who does the bumper music that we use on this show, he also tested positive. And he said that his wife also tested positive. It was a little harder on his wife, but on him, he lost his sense of smell. And he got 10 days off of work with pay. So he went camping with his dog. And it was worth it for him, getting the 10 days off and going camping with his dog. The benefit is if it rains and you're with your dog and you've lost your sense of smell, well, you don't have to worry about that dog smell, do you?
Well, I've never owned a dog, but I am not a fan of the smell of pets, to be honest. I know this will upset some people because there's a lot of animal lovers out there. But I'm not an animal hater. I'm not an animal hater. But I do like animals, but I like them from a distance. I don't like having animals in my house because, I don't know, I can always smell them. It's something that I find the smell kind of overpowering. So I've never actually owned a pet. The closest I've been to actually owning a pet is when I've rescued an animal that I've found somewhere, you know, out in the wilderness, and I've obviously scooped it up and brought it home to look after it for a short period of time.
Okay, well, so luckily, I don't have Mr. T in here. He might have taken a bit of offense, but that's fine. That's fine. So your wife, she, what were her symptoms like?
Well, her symptoms were that she had a tight chest. She felt that it was slightly more difficult to breathe. She lost her sense of smell. And she's been very under the weather. Now, I would say that her symptoms, she's still been able to do pretty much everything that she would normally do in terms of stuff around the house. She obviously hasn't been going out, but she has been able to do things that were pretty much all the things that she would normally do around the house. So she has been you know, eating, walking up and down stairs. You know, she hasn't had any problems, you know, going for a shower or anything like that. But she has been quite exhausted.
And so obviously then her and your whole attitude towards this whole thing, now you understand why the mask lockdowns and vaccinations are totally justified, right? Now you understand.
Absolutely not. I mean, I look at this and it hasn't changed my opinion one bit on the masks and the lockdowns. I still think they're absolutely ridiculous, because if anything, this has shown me that it is definitely out there. There is definitely something out there. There's definitely something that's making people ill, but it's not this horrific pandemic that is completely leaving people completely debilitated. She has been, I wouldn't say she's been fine. She's definitely been under the weather. She's definitely been not very well with this. I'm not diminishing what she's been through, but it hasn't been the hellish nightmare that you hear about in the media. Now, when you see the reports in the media, everything is always as if it's the end of the world. You have people who have COVID toes and they've had COVID toes for months and they can't walk. You have people who can't breathe. You have people who are bedridden on ventilators for months. I would say that this is in line with a nasty cold or a mild version of the flu. Now, I would say that had we not had a child, this really wouldn't have been a problem at all. The biggest problem we've had is looking after Sophia, because when you're obviously just a couple of adults on your own, it's quite easy to get over these things, because you just go to bed, you sleep, you bring each other soup in bed, you know, and a couple of bread rolls, and you get over these things. But I think when you've got a child, it makes it much, much more difficult. Much, much more difficult, because obviously you...
Little Sophia tested.
We haven't even tested her. She's had no symptoms whatsoever. And this is another thing that's very, very interesting. I had very mild symptoms. I developed them on the Thursday. I felt slightly groggy, but I thought initially it's just because I had a very hard week, because we'd had our annual camp a few days before. And obviously that takes a lot out of me. There was 145 people there this year. So it was a resounding
super spreader event.
A super spreader event, indeed. I might have even picked it up there. And after going to the camp, after enjoying myself, obviously came home, developed this. Thursday, Friday felt a bit groggy. But putting this into perspective, despite feeling slightly groggy on the Friday, I still went to the gym. I was still at the gym. Now, I didn't feel that bad, or I wouldn't have been at the gym. And I did a full session, and I wasn't dying. I wasn't sort of collapsing. I wasn't huffing and puffing. I wasn't all over the place. I was just slightly fatigued, and I noticed that I was a little bit hotter and sweatier than I usually would have been at the gym. But I still lifted the same amount. I'm still in there for the same duration of time. I still had my same post-gym meal that I always have. And I came home Saturday. Again, I felt a little bit groggy, but we went out for a big family walk. This time, Mrs. Mark was fine, but and Sophia was great. We went out for a nice long walk. We had an enjoyable morning together. And it was really on the Sunday when I started to feel a little bit worse. But even though I felt a little bit worse on the Sunday, I certainly wasn't out of action. I certainly wasn't feeling so bad that I couldn't do anything. It was really only on the Monday and the Tuesday I felt really rotten. And on the Monday and the Tuesday, that is when I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to need to spend some time in bed. I'm going to need to spend some time in bed. I need to get myself better. It's as simple as that. And I did. I spent Monday and Tuesday in bed. And Wednesday, when Mrs. Mark came down with the worst of it, I was there to pick up the slack. And I took Sophia out. And myself and Sophia have been doing activities all week together. We've been out at parks. We've been out in the countryside. We've d- done plenty of walks together. We've gone shopping, done all sorts, and it's been fine. And bearing all this in mind, it's done nothing but confirm to me that actually this monstrous disease, this plague upon us that is apparently going to kill all of these people, I don't think so. I think genuinely, if you are a healthy person under the age of 60 and you don't have any underlying health conditions, I don't think this would be something that would knock you for six. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd be in a bad way, to be honest. I think that you would just breeze through this. As I said, my only issue with this is if you've got children and if you're in a position where you need to be there looking after your children, that does make things an awful lot harder, because obviously you're not just thinking about you, you're thinking about what you're going to be doing with your children.
Yeah.
And you have to keep them entertained. So, and I should imagine the same is true if you've got pets.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
If you've got a dog that needs taking out.
If you had the flu. But what would make the flu even worse is you could spread the flu to your kid, and the flu is more trouble to your kid. Your kid would get the flu and be sick him or herself. It's much more dangerous to kids. The flu is much more dangerous than COVID. COVID is no big deal for kids. It's really, really no big deal.
Well, that's the thing. I've got to say that. Sophia has been fine. She's absolutely come through this, and she's had no symptoms whatsoever. The only thing I would say is she probably does want to spend a little bit more time with mummy. She's never been used to spending so much time with me and not her mum. That's the only thing, and I think that's been a little bit of a shock for her. And I'm not saying she's had a bad time. I think we've had some fun times, but she does get a little bit sort of, I wouldn't say upset, but she does get after a while that she wants to be with her mum because she's used to that. Mm-hmm. But and that's probably something that's quite common.
Okay,
with, most children. But other than that, she has been absolutely fine, and I would say that actually seeing this up close, this certainly isn't the kind of disease that justifies the lockdowns that we've seen.
So, okay, that's interesting. That's confirmation of, you know, what you and I have been saying all along, that none of these countermeasures are justified. And it's really these countermeasures that are the problem. The disease, whatever is out there, and I've usually been saying whatever is out there, I've been kind of agnostic on it, although, you know, your experience and Filbert's experience and other people I know, they tend to be saying pretty much the same thing. Loss of a sense of smell, maybe extreme fatigue for a couple of days, that type of thing. And in particular, loss of the sense of smell, that's something that if you have the flu, you might have a loss, or the cold, you might have a loss of sense of smell because of congestion, but you didn't have your nose all clogged up. You were able to breathe through your nose but still couldn't smell anything. Is that it?
Yeah, and sometimes when you do notice something that would normally obviously be something you would smell, so that'd normally be a scent, sometimes you have this strange burning in your nostrils instead. That was something that I found really odd. So I was out and about with my daughter, and we were in a park, and there were some people smoking, and the actual cigarette smoke made my nostrils burn. And I've never had that before. It was kind of a really weird, strange sensation of just burning in your nostrils. And as I say, I've never actually experienced that before.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, what I've been avoiding as much as possible talking about the exact nature of this, the exact origin of it. And there are a lot of people who say this is simply the flu that's been rebranded. People talk about it's never been isolated. It doesn't exist. And I've always recommended against the whole it doesn't exist thing. If you think it doesn't exist, it's much better to just be agnostic. I've been saying whatever is out there, without being very specific, but I think really, I think you could be specific. I think it sounds like there's something that is novel. I would assume it is actually a coronavirus. But the thing is, it's just not that, it's not serious enough to warrant these crazy, this crackdown on us, this complete crackdown on our society, the overthrowing of elections. There's nothing out there that warrants it, but that doesn't mean there's nothing out there at all. And so when people go out and say that it doesn't exist, that there's no virus, that this, it completely doesn't exist, and then somebody, let's just say somebody who has heard that, then comes down with something and it has these classic symptoms. Okay, well, it does exist. Does that mean if somebody's convinced then that it does exist, does that warrant the crazy countermeasures? And that's, I think that's the hazard of going around saying it doesn't exist.
I agree. I think I might have said this on this very show, actually. I've actually spoken to a number of people who have reported symptoms, who have actually reported symptoms of coronavirus. Now, the interesting thing about the symptoms that they've reported, they've all been quite consistent. And the people that have reported them, they're not people that I don't trust. They're not people who are fools. They're people who are nationalists. They're people who are involved in the nationalist movement in some way, shape, or form. Then they're people who were skeptical of the whole COVID narrative. They're people who've pushed back against the COVID narrative. They're people that don't think that we should be having these lockdowns, but they are people nonetheless that have suffered from COVID in some way, shape, or form. And at that point, you have to acknowledge that either A, all of these people are independently reporting the same thing, they're all acting in bad faith, and they're all lying to me. I don't think that's the case. I don't think this is completely made up. I don't think that the government has, or the world's governments have all, at the same time, completely made up the same narrative and are all pushing it together. I simply don't think that's happened. I think there is something out there. However, I think that what's out there is not as deadly as we're being told. I think the mainstream media have pushed a narrative that it's far more deadly than it is. And they've focused on cases which are real outliers. So they'll focus on cases where there's a young girl, maybe, who's 14 or 15, shouldn't really have given her any problems, and she will have had long-term complications from this. And they'll claim that she had no underlying health conditions, and she was in the bracket that shouldn't have even got it, but now she's got this terrible life-changing illness, and her life is ruined. Now, that is something that we can look at, and we can say, okay, do we, as in you and I or the audience, do we believe that to be true? Well, maybe, because there are outliers. There are people that will get the flu. There are people that get cold. There are people that get diarrhea, and they die from it. Mm-hmm. But you don't legislate for the rest of the nation based on those outliers, and that's the important point.
Okay, we're up at the break. We'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself.
What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So we are back, and at the end of the show last week, we talked about people who have particular ideas. Why is it that our people who come to our events, who listen to our shows, are very likely to say things or believe things from non-mainstream people about the virus doesn't exist, it's never been isolated, it doesn't exist. Not too long ago, I had somebody, when I was doing a live show, call in and make the assertion that the planes that flew into the Twin Towers were holograms. And why are they people so prone to this type of thing? Now, I was very obnoxious with the person. I called him a 9/11 cuck. And I insisted that the Twin Towers were never there in the first place. You can look at old pictures of the New York skyline. They were never there. The whole thing is just a big lie, and you're being a cuck by saying that the towers were there in the first place. They were never there, which is just as plausible as the planes were never there, frankly. But at any rate, this – and when you We're in COVID first. I want to move on to other things, but COVID. If you're going to be saying there's no such thing as COVID, and then somebody gets COVID, or somebody knows somebody who has COVID and gets these classic symptoms, and maybe the person winds up being older, and the classic symptoms, let's just say, is a 70-year-old who gets it and winds up having to go into the hospital. Maybe they get over it, but it was scary for them. Then should that person become a true believer in the lockdowns and everything? because this is the problem is the response to it. Beyond the lockdowns and the forced vaccinations, everything else that they're doing in society, taking the censorship, the fake elections. And it seems to me that's what we should be going after, saying that, that COVID is in no way warrants this. So you can't have public policy aimed at this, at one problem. And to say COVID's a problem, that, if you get sick, the common cold's a problem, right? Probably the common cold or pneumonia or a lot of other things are a worse public health problem overall. But do you orient all of public policy towards maximizing or minimalizing a single problem? And of course you don't. But that's what we're doing here.
Well, I think what you've got here is a problem with people who call themselves truth seekers. And these people all have a very, very high standard of proof when it comes to questioning anything that the government says. And that's a good thing. So these people question everything the government say, and they are highly distrustful of any narrative that is being pushed by said government or the authorities or the media. And that's a good thing. But the problem these people exhibit is, whilst they have this very, very high standard for proof for any narrative being pushed by the government or media, they have an extremely low standard of proof for anything being pushed by alternative media. So they will, and I got sent something the other day, and it was about organ harvesting. And it was pretty gruesome, I'll be honest. And it showed video footage, which was allegedly of a hospital in Russia, and there was bodies everywhere, and these bodies had been cut open. Clearly, organs had been removed, or it was made to look as if organs had been removed. There was bags of medical waste everywhere. There was people walking around in hazmat suits. Now, this little grainy clip was being used to tell the story that somewhere in Russia there was an organ harvesting operation going on, and that organ harvesting operation was being used by the globalists, by the global elite. People were being snatched, and once they had been snatched, they were taken, they were obviously drugged, they were put to sleep, their organs were taken, and then they were killed. And that was basically it. That was the long and short of it. That was the long and short of it. But, and this is the thing that I found particularly interesting about this, is the first thing I did when I saw that is I thought, something doesn't quite seem right about this footage. It was very dirty in the room it was taking place. Everything was pretty gory, and it looked like something from a budget horror film. It didn't look like an actual medical facility that would be harvesting organs, because I know that when you remove an organ from a body that's going to be transplanted, it has to be put on ice. It has to be in a very, very clean and sanitary environment. There can't be any chance of that being damaged or infected or any harm coming to it, because these harvested organs would be worth tens or hundreds of thousands. And it just didn't seem to add up to me. But on the other side of the break, I'll tell you a bit more about this.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper?
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back talking about organ harvesting, and please continue with your story.
Well, I watched this video, and it didn't quite ring true. And I did some digging, and I asked around, and I passed the footage. And pretty soon, I realized that it wasn't actually true, that what was going on wasn't actually organ harvesting. It was something that somebody had set up. Somebody had seen this, and they'd seen this footage, and they were using it to paint a narrative. And it most likely was from a horror film or from a TV series or something like that. But it certainly wasn't what it was being purported to be. And that's very, very interesting, because there's a lot of this stuff that's put out there by so-called truthers that actually isn't true, that actually isn't real. It's actually stuff that unfortunately has been made up, embellished, made to look like something it isn't. But the sad thing about this so-called truther community is the truther community, as I said, has these very, very high standards for truth and proof when it comes to the mainstream media and the government, which is a good thing. But they have a very low standard for truth and proof when it comes to the alternative media. So there'll be a guy on BitChute, and you won't actually know who he is. You don't actually know he's got any qualifications. And he'll be saying, coronavirus has never been isolated. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. It's actually 5G towers. And the 5G towers are restricting the oxygen intake into people's bodies and people are dying because of 5G, because the 5G frequency is such that it disrupts oxygen intake. It actually disrupts oxygen molecules and prevents them from being absorbed by the lungs. Now, that's a theory that I have seen quite a bit of on BitChute. BitChute especially seems to be full of those kind of videos, those kind of opinions. But in the comments, all of the same people who have these very, very high standards of proof for the mainstream media, for the government, all of a sudden drop all their standards of proof and absolutely accept everything they've just been told by somebody who they don't know. They don't know is qualified to be talking about what they're talking about. And they go down this rabbit hole, which takes them to a place which I believe could accurately be called insanity. They go down this rabbit hole and come to these insane conclusions. Now, the reason I brought up the COVID 5G link is it's because it's something that's being pushed by David Icke. It's something that's being pushed at these COVID freedom rallies. It's something that's quite well known. But you only have to be, or you only have to apply a small amount of critical thinking to realize why there is no link between 5G and the people getting ill from COVID. Now, 5G towers are installed primarily in large urban areas. And the largest introduction of 5G in the UK is in London. Now, London is the most non-white area of the UK. It's the area with the highest concentration of Jews. It's the area with the highest concentration of media moguls, presenters, TV talking heads, the highest concentration of politicians, the highest concentration of liberals, the highest concentration of bankers and financiers. In fact, all the people that we complain about are all concentrated largely in London. And London has the largest rollout and highest density of 5G towers of anywhere in the UK. So if 5G towers were what was causing people to drop dead, it's not a very good plan, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would primarily be killing the global elite. The people who would be dying would be the bankers, the financiers, the internationalists. The people that were dying would be the immigrant community. It would be disproportionately affecting the Jewish community because there is a large Jewish community in London. It would be wiping out civil servants. It would be wiping out members of parliament and their family. And if you look back at Brexit, when Britain voted to leave the EU, the only place in the country which was overwhelmingly against that was London. That was the liberal, non-white, globalist epicenter, the sort of epicenter of everything that is anti-nationalist. So if these 5G towers were killing people off, what would actually be happening is all of these non-white cities, all of these cities with a concentration of politicians, civil servants, media moguls and financiers, there would be a massive death toll there. And there would be virtually no death toll out in the countryside, which would basically undo the globalist plot that we actually know is happening migration.
Wait a minute, Mark. You got to remember that the globalists are the real Nazis. So, of course, they're going to go after the Jews and the non-white people because they're the real Nazis. They're the real white supremacists.
And, you know, I know that you're joking when you say that. And I do appreciate that joke. However, I will tell you this now, Patrick. Whereas you are joking in saying that, there are people who would put that forward
as
a genuine theory. And I'll tell you this as well, while we're talking about this. There was a woman speaking at a rally in London at the weekend against all of the COVID lockdowns, saying there was a link between COVID and 5G. And do you know what she said? She went as far as saying that comparing the doctors and nurses in the NHS to Nazis and saying that they would end up on trial in a similar way to the Nazis at Nuremberg, because these people, although they claim to be truthers, they actually, and I'm not saying everything that they say is garbage, because the I don't believe that to be true. And I'm not saying they're inherently bad people either. But what I am saying is these people are unfortunately not always telling the truth. And they're speaking about things that they can't prove to people who don't ask for any proof. And that's a dangerous situation to be in. Now, when we talk about something like replacement migration, I can give you, off the top of my head, some incredible facts. So I can say to you straight away, look, Patrick, at the beginning of the 1950s, there were less than 20,000 non-whites in Britain. They made up just 0.04% of the population, and the vast majority of them were new arrivals. They were first-generation immigrants. They were fresh off the boat. By 2011, the time of the last census that we actually have, well, there was a census, there's been a census this year, but we don't have the results of that, obviously, yet. But 2011, the last census that's been completed and we have results for, the non-white population of Great Britain had risen to over 8 million. It made up over 13% of the population. And you can see that in just 60 years, you have had this absolutely massive demographic shift, which is unprecedented. Now, all of these things can be backed up by facts and figures. They can be backed up by evidence. And they can also be backed up by observation. So I could take somebody to London today, to the East End. I could walk them through the East End and I could show them pictures and film footage of the East End in the 1940s or the 1950s. And you would see that it was totally different, that it was night and day, that there has been this massive transformation. And I think our, because everything really is classified as a theory, but the theory of replacement migration can be absolutely backed up by things that we're, by not only facts, not only data, but also by actual observation. And that's very important. And I think it's very important that we can do that. And I think it's also very important that when we present such theories to the public, that we can absolutely hold them up to scrutiny. So if I was sat, and I have done this before, I've been sat on panels with people who have opposing views to what we, to the views we hold, and I can actually present facts and evidence that backs this up. Yet the whole idea of the COVID 5G link can be undone very, very quickly with just a little bit of logic, because the very people who are imposing or would be imposing the 5G towers to kill everyone would be the ones that died first. So, of course, it doesn't make any sense. And when you view it in that through that lens, when you have a look at it in the cold light of day, all of a sudden the idea of that does fall to pieces. And I think it's very, very important that we as a movement hold everything up to the same degree of scrutiny. And the reason we must do that is because otherwise we make fools of ourselves. And we also make it very, very difficult for people to believe us on the things that we're right about if we're talking about things that we're clearly not right about. And I think it's very, very easy to go to people and say to them, the COVID lockdown is unconstitutional, it's unnecessary, all of the statistics show children are virtually impossible to kill with COVID. It's almost impossible for children to die of COVID. Most of them who get infected with it don't get any symptoms at all. Yes, those who have underlying health conditions may be at risk, but again, you cannot legislate for a population of some 60-something million people because and there are a few.
There are a ton of other things that are more risky to kids than COVID.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, Patrick, I think that is a very easy sell. Mm-hmm. So I think going to people and presenting the actual facts. The facts on mortality, the fact the government has fiddled the figures when it comes to mortality, the fact the government has misrepresented the death toll by saying people who died within 60 days of taking a test rather than saying people who actually died of COVID. And that's a huge difference. That's, you know, we're talking a massive difference there. Saying to people, this is the number of people who've actually died of COVID, and this is the number of people who've died within 60 days of being tested. Those things are hugely, hugely different. So what the government have done is they've gone into cancer wards where people are on palliative care. And for those who don't know what palliative care is when the patient has no chance of survival. They have no chance of making
a recovery. You're just trying to make them more comfortable. That's the objective, is not to save them, but just to make them more comfortable.
Yes, to ease their suffering in their final moments or their final days or weeks of their life. And what you've got is doctors going into wards where palliative care is the norm, testing people for COVID, and then when they die, a week, 2 weeks later, that death goes into the COVID death pile, so to speak. It goes into the big pile of COVID deaths that are being reported. Well, that person was dying of cancer. That person was dying of something else, but they have now been added to the COVID death total. And that is something we can prove. And we can prove this because it has been so widespread. There have been a number of families taking the government to court, taking hospitals to court, pushing back on this because they're saying, my great aunt had been suffering from cancer for 2 years. She was on her deathbed. She had a COVID test 2 days before she's died. Now they've said she's died of COVID. That is absolute nonsense. And people have pushed back against that. And we can prove all of these things. And we can not only prove these things by talking about them, but we can prove them by actually presenting articles and data that has been published through mainstream sources, which, of course, makes it far, far easier to prove that we are telling the truth to a public that might be skeptical of us as a group. So if we go to the public and say, look, you're more likely to be killed in a road traffic accident than you are by COVID if you're under the age of 60 and you have no underlying health conditions, we can prove that. That's been reported in the mainstream news. That's been reported in the press. It's been reported. We even know who said it. There was I could look it up. I don't have the facts in front of me, but there was a doctor who actually said this, and that doctor is a qualified doctor, a statistician. He's somebody who is employed at a major university. He worked all this out, put it together, and that is something that we know about. And because we know about that, we can talk about that with confidence. And I feel, and this is these are my feelings, I'm not suggesting everyone has to agree with me, but I am putting over a point that I am quite passionate about. I feel that if we stick to things that we can actually prove, such as the facts and figures that I've just presented, which are the facts and figures for England and Wales here in the UK, so they're not the facts for America, but I'm sure there are similar facts out there in America. I think if we stick to those, and when we present those, we do so by citing our sources, I believe that the public is much, much more likely to buy into the very common sense narrative that ultimately we as people have had our rights taken away because of something that actually isn't as deadly as we've been told, and we have been lied to. Now, the lie is that something that is a nasty disease for people of a certain age or with respiratory problems or underlying health conditions, something that can be nasty for those people is not so nasty for everybody else. But the government and the media have taken cases which are clearly what we call outliers in statistical terms, used those outliers to then justify taking away the rights of everyone. So what they will do is they will have a big headline, 13-year-old healthy girl can't walk because she got infected with COVID, and then 5 or 6 pages in, tucked away in the paper, the actual statistics for the whole nation will be there, and you'll realise that they are putting a spotlight on cases that aren't regular cases.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're up at the break. We'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about not just COVID. We're talking about the susceptibility of us to some bizarre ideas sometimes. You know, there's such a thing as confirmation bias. And if you've become anti-establishment because you realize that you've been lied to about very fundamental things, you start to have, well, so confirmation bias, which is a tendency to search for, interpret, favor, recall information in a way that confirms or supports your prior beliefs, right? And if you already believe that we're being lied to, then you're you're liable to have a much lower threshold for arguments or supposed proof of things that you already believe than things that you don't believe. And, you know, so we see this people who decide, okay, the virus doesn't exist, or that there was holograms flying into 9/11, or a whole bunch of other things where they'll just see somebody on BitChute who doesn't even present very good proof, who may be completely inaccurate in formulas they're using, who claims that just because jet fuel doesn't burn at the melting point for steel, then it's impossible for fires to have taken down or contributed to the collapse of these towers. They make these points, and nobody, and if already you think it's an inside job or whatever, you'll run with this without actually giving it the same scrutiny that you're giving to that you give to the arguments against your case, which you'll put supreme scrutiny towards. Now, we only have a few minutes left. That I just kind of wanted to sum up. Maybe we have to talk more about this, because our people get very, very bogged down in certain things. And I think sometimes I don't know, like I talk about the 1871 Act that supposedly turned the United States into a corporation, which can be a big deal for people. And yet, I abused my audience by actually reading the act to them and challenging anybody to call in when they heard the part of the act that turned the United States into a corporation. It made for very bad radio, by the way. And maybe we'll have to talk about this more in the future, but I'm just going to kick it back to you and then ask you, what are you doing this week?
Well, I agree with what you say, and I've heard a lot of wacky ideas. One guy I was arguing with the other day that I promptly stopped arguing with because there's no point. He's somebody who believes that all of our laws are not actually laws of the land; they're maritime laws, and we're not actually subject to laws of the land. We're subject to maritime laws, and basically, what we need to do as people is, if we ever get into trouble, we need to tell people, we need to tell the arresting officer or the people that we are dealing with, that we are land living creatures and we will be treated as land living creatures because we're not at sea. And then they have these bizarre ways of proving this. And one of the great ways they have of proving this is saying things like, oh, well, just listen to their terminology. Why do you think they call it the dock? They call it the dock. The reason they call it the dock is because they think you're at sea. And at this point, you sort of breathe a weary sigh and you decide that maybe it's best that you don't talk to this person much anymore. And I would suggest that we stick to facts and figures and things that we can prove.
Hey, well, we'll probably have to revisit this again, but thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure, Patrick.
And I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.